Well, as I said, Corrine Mann baked the cake, and that is something that she does for most all these brides, and it was beautiful. It was a five-tiered cake on a gorgeous stand. It had the water fountain, colored water fountain, which was lit up, and that was under the cake stand, and it glowed onto the cake. And the cake had the lavender flowers on it. It was topped with the bride and groom. Again, the top layer was taken off and kept for Vicki and Glenn to do with it as they wished on their anniversary. And I believe I am repeating myself, they did have the colored water fountain.
You said that it glowed. Did it produce a color or what color?
Yes, it was a color which again matched the flowers. The water, Corrine takes whatever she does, and she matches the flowers with this, uses the same color in the water, and this constantly
reflects
on the cake.
Yes. So what you're saying, there's light, there's the colored water,
yes,
and it reflects.
Right, and this water keeps flowing at all times. How she does it or whatever it is, but it is the flowing water fountain.
And it reflects like an orchid or purple color
onto the white cake.
Good, good. Was there a groom's cake?
Yes, there was.
Would you describe that?
Yes, they had, Glenn was playing pro baseball at that time. It was a huge devil's food cake. And they had a ball and a bat on it, pertaining to his type of
his occupation.
Right, he was with pro football. I mean baseball at that time.
Did Vicki and Glenn have a professional photographer who followed their wedding as like their
right.
like Vicki's mother?
Right, Klein John came up to the house and he's a very close friend of the family, and he taken all of Vicki's pictures. In fact, he came to the house and did quite a bit of work up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he followed us all to church and did the traditional pictures there. Mm-hmm. He covered it beautifully.
Did Vicki and Glenn go on a honeymoon?
Yes, they did. But I don't remember just where they went at that. I just don't. I'm very sorry.
Well, that's no problem. I was just trying to establish if they did have the chance to go on a honeymoon.
Right. I should have gotten all that information. But I really don't remember where they went. I don't.
Did they follow the tradition of the drinking of beer at this wedding?
Very much so. Yes. Very much so. They had the different. It was flowing, and they had the mixed drinks, whatever the guests preferred to drink.
You mentioned that you made your daughter's dress. You mentioned you made your granddaughter's dress. Have you made a lot of wedding dresses?
Yes, I have. In fact, that's what I did for many a year. Soon after I got married, I started to do public sewing. My first wedding dress was Rosie Sitter Hands. And that's one of my nieces, and she asked me, "Aunt Jo, would you make my wedding dress?" I was quite shocked, but I felt like I was honored to make her wedding dress. I said, "Well, Rosie, I'll give it a good try." So she brought her material and her, I had a pattern for it. She had her pattern and all, whatever she, and we, but hers was the first one I made. I then followed up with most of the nieces' dresses. Leatrice Hans Baumel was my second, one of the nieces, and then Jacqueline Hans Beck, again, is a niece of mine. I made hers.
How many wedding dresses have you made?
I have, up to now, I have made 29.
29?
29, yes. And then that is beside all the bridesmaid dresses that I have covered. In fact, I used to do some complete weddings, the bridesmaid dresses and the bride's dress and veil.
Is there any one dress out of these 29 that you would consider the outstanding dress that you made?
Well, to me, they were all very pretty. Now, this one I'm really not partial to any of them.
Well,
they
I understand.
All these brides all had pretty dresses. They picked what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But one that was really different, shall we say, was different.
Right.
It was a colonial type. And that Leatrice Hans Baumel, she saw this dress in a paper. A little lady at Hamda had this dress. And she said this is what she wanted. And it was, after it was made, it was gorgeous. It was made out of heavy satin, and it had 24 handmade roses on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I made every petal, we went out to Hondo, and the little lady let us see the dress. I then tried to sketch it as best as I could. I took the picture that she had of the dress and took Leatrice's measurements, whatever. We went to town and bought the material, and it worked out just fine. We then matched the double-tiered illusion veil, and also she wore the handmade roses on this headgear that I made for.
Would you describe the dress, the contours of it?
Well, it was a fitted, the bodice was fitted. It had it had a collar, a flowing collar, just not too large a collar, which was drawn up on one side with the handmade rose. She had long tapered sleeves with a point on her wrist, on her palm. And then the skirt was huge. At that time, they wore the hoops in the dresses. And my husband made all the hoops for all these brides.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah, he got a kick out of that. He'd made hoops, all sizes and forms and what. But that kept the bride from having to buy the hoop. And he made them, and then I covered the hoop, and we used them.
What did he use to make the hoop out of?
The heavy wire, and then he'd solder these hoops together. And then I would cover them with tape.
Well, how did the bride wear these hoops?
Underneath the dress. I would tack them underneath the dress. That gave them the full look.
Oh, they were tacked to the dress.
To the dress, right. Mm-hmm. Or to the slip, mm-hmm. To the slip mm-hmm. of the dress.
Mm-hmm.
But Leatrice's dress had, it was in the skirt was in three tiers. And it was like on the colonial type, and each, every other, it was looped into scallops. The top tier was drawn up and looped into a threefold scallop. Again, with the continuous skirt line, the bottom of the skirt was again drawn up to the individual scallop loops, three, and then these were all centered with a handmade rose.
The rose held up the
loop. Held up the loop. Held up the scallop.
Mm-hmm, the scallop.
And then underneath the lower tier of her, the bottom, around the bottom of the skirt, we had tulle. It had an 18-inch tulle, and it was real full, and that again gave it the fullness, brought out the skirt.
And this was out of, you said, heavy?
Heavy satin.
Snow white
satin, right.
That sounds
She,
beautiful.
Too, again, wore the locket.
Oh, she did.
Rameses locket, yes. In fact, she was one of the very first ones, being the older of the nieces.
If I'm being too nosy, you don't have to answer this, but how much did you get paid to make one of these fabulous dresses?
Well, at that time, you know, the wages weren't, or you just didn't get as much money, but I would get $25 for the dress and veil. If it would, that was for most of, at that time they didn't use as many beadings, the seated bead, it was more or less handwork on them, like the handmade roses and whatnot. And then, but I would, approximately $25. But it would take quite a while to make that.
Well, let's take this dress for an example that you just described for Leatrice. Can you tell me how long that took?
Well, that took me about 3 months on account of the handmade roses, because they took quite a while to make.
So on an average, when you had a bride that you were going to make a dress for, you could count, figure on 3 months?
Every bit. I wanted plenty of time.
What about if you, tell me about how long it took if you included the bridesmaids?
Well, now that again is a different thing. I would first do all of my, in fact, the brides were always very cooperative in this. They would give me enough time. In some weddings, I worked as long as 6 months, 6 to 7 months. And two, again, the pay on the bridesmaid dresses would be from $5 to $10.
So it took you 6 months to make 5 bridesmaid dresses, and let's say...
Well, it really, no, it, not the 6 months, no,
I mean total,
three.
With the bride and
right.
Bridesmaids.
Okay, right. And then again, we would make all the headgears, whatever they wore, hats, and I'd use horsehair braid mostly for them, or whatever the bride would want, you know. But, you know, we'd buy the little gear or so, and then we'd cover that with the same material of the bridesmaid dress.
So you came up with about $50, and you had worked 4 or 5 months.
That's right, but that was big money at that time. Well, it was... I appreciated it, and the girls were always just so sweet that it was fun. I enjoyed it. And then I would make them, if they had a ring bearer, well, I would make them a pillow with the handmade roses down there, and that was a little gift to the bride.
How sweet.
If they preferred it, you know, if they needed one, or some didn't have the ring.
Did you always use a pattern, a bob pattern?
No, ma'am. I hardly ever had a pattern. We would, the girls would come with their picture out of a book, bride's book, whatever, and this is what I'd like to have. And so we'd go to work, I'd sit down with the bride. It would take me quite a while to get to really know what she wanted. Some of the brides would have a dress spotted in town that they would like.
You're talking San Antonio.
And so, well, we would go in there and look at the dress. I would sketch it as best as I could, took the measurements, whatever, and go home and start on it.
Well, how did you judge how much material you needed?
Well, that took quite a lot of my time, but I would do that way before we would go in for the materials. Mm-hmm. And I would come to as close as I could. And I had a very good friend in town that at Cloth World or wherever, Sanger's, Singer's, wherever we went for our materials. And they're a lot of help also.
Mm-hmm.
In getting the whatever we needed. But most of the dresses, in fact all the dresses except this very first one, I have a basic pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Like for a bodice,
mm-hmm.
you know, you need a basic pattern mm-hmm. for that. But other than that, there was none, not one alike. They were all different. At that time, very full skirts, and trains and whatever, but we always came out. So, and the bride was happy. I always did my best to keep the bride happy.
So you would have to work out your measurements from the picture or the dress you had seen and the girl.
Right.
That you were making the dress for.
Right, I would take my measurements of the girl, her height, her waist, whatever, her sleeve length and all, and I would start from that, the basics,
mm-hmm.
take her, whatever measurement, her, and then I would take the length of what train she would want. Some wanted a chapel train, others wanted a, you know, whatever length of train they would. Well, I would always then go accordingly. That, and it always came out pretty good. best.
You said you made Vicky's, and this was in 77, right? 1977. Mm-hmm. Have you made any since then?
Yes, I have. I have made two wedding dresses since. I really have not... I sort of gave up sewing, and I didn't, I really had quit, let's say that, but then these two little special girls came to me and asked me to make theirs, and then I did. I have since made the veils and headgears. I have made some, and they, from out of town people, Houston, San Antonio, and different ones like that, just the veil part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But since Vicky's, I have made two.
Do you still just get $25?
No, I have had to ask more now mm-hmm. because it takes more time and, well, it's just, time is just more, I just need to get more money for it than
that's
I did
understandable.
than I did at that time because it's a lot of work involved. But at those days, the very first ones, you know, we just didn't ask anymore. And
well,
money went further, let's say that. It went further than it does now.
Well, let's establish a date as to, you said those days. What are we talking about as far as time is concerned? What year approximately would you say you started with your first one?
Oh, well, I would say in about 38, I think it was about 38 or 39 would have been about, because about in 38 or 39.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that time, the public sewing, well, to get a dollar and a half or so for a dress, that was great.
Mm-hmm.
And we appreciated it. I appreciated it, really. And I had all I could handle. And I kept doing public sewing there for a long time. And then it got to where I got into this bridal work and enjoyed it.
So you started with your public sewing at about 38 or 39, right. And your first bride, can you give me an estimate as to what date?
Well, I don't know just what date, but I would say about 39 or 40.
I would say
to within the 40s. Mm-hmm. Shall we say 40, 40, right in through there.
Is when you started,
yes.
When you did your first bridal.
My first bridal, yes, mm-hmm. Right.
Well, that is so interesting. Do you have any other, can you tell me anything else about your sewing of the bride's dresses maybe that might be interesting, something that I might have missed, some of the mishaps or something that might have happened?
Well, that you have, oh yes, you have these things, and you wonder, is it going to work out or is it not? And you want, the main thing was, I want to keep the bride happy.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, the brides were always very sweet to work with. The mothers were great, and that is what you need, a lot of cooperation in something like this.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you talk about going into sewing for people, professional sewing. Where did you learn to sew?
At home. I was 13 when my mother died. And I was determined. She did all my sewing up there. I was 13 and I thought, now if my mother can do that, I'm going to learn to do that. But the first sewing that I did do, but I did it, I learned to sew by experience, which I still think is the best teacher.
So you didn't have any person in particular to sit down and really help you?
No, ma'am. No, I sure didn't. Now, my aunt worked at the Rodian Cook store at that time. She would give me an idea on how much material to buy,
mm-hmm.
And you know, help me along like that, but I had to figure out the patterns myself, you know, and this is why I mean I learned to by experience.
Just self-training.
Yeah, I tried awfully hard. I was determined.
You know, this tape on these weddings and your bride's making of all these bridal dresses has been so interesting. I kind of hate to go on to another subject.
But, well, that's all right. I think we've covered quite a bit of it.
Yeah.
If we have left out some, well, maybe tomorrow, so we'll think of things we've left out, but it's quite a thing to cover.
Right, it is. Well, thank you for giving me your time on these subjects. I certainly do appreciate it, and thank you for inviting me into your home.
You're quite welcome. You're very welcome.